So Jesus was sitting out with his disciples, maybe around a campfire, something of that nature. They were hanging out outside. It was dark outside. You don't generally expect someone to come walking up to you when you're outside and it's dark. That's not one of those things that you expect, right? If someone came up walking up to you, you're sitting around a campfire, it's dark, out in the middle of the desert, the first thing you would not think is, oh, hey, this guy wants to have a good conversation with me. No. The first thing you would think is, what do I do, where do I run, and how fast does this guy look like he can run? Alright? But Jesus sat there. And as this man walked up, we knew who he was. It was Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the teacher of the law, the head of the in the Pharisaical temple, he was there. He was important. One of the more important people, actually a person in the group that is trying to get you killed, just comes up and starts trying to talk to you. What do you think? You're Jesus. What would we think? Yeah, run! What's he doing? Is he trying to arrest us? I mean, imagine, put yourself in the position of one of the disciples. Is he trying to arrest us? What's he trying to do? I have no idea. I can't even guess what this man is doing. And the first thing the man calls Jesus is Rabbi. And at that point, you know something's weird. He's not acting like the other Pharisees. The Pharisees that are telling Jesus that the miracles he's doing are from the devil. The same Pharisaical group that is trying to kill Jesus at the time. He's not acting like that. He just called him Rabbi. You know, that's a term of respect. Why would he call him Rabbi? And that's where the story picks up. It starts in John 3, 1. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. I think it's interesting that he says, we. Maybe he meant me. Maybe I don't want to totally admit that. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now hold on a second. That doesn't seem like the way someone would respond. You know, Rabbi, you are a teacher. We know you came from God. I mean, the first thing I might say is thanks. But Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Jesus was cutting right to the core of the problem. Jesus knew what was going on in Nicodemus, his head. That's why I said, imagine you're a disciple. Because Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus knew the core issue behind this whole thing. Moving on. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. That's kind of funny. We read it and we're like, oh, it's kind of funny. Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus is like, that's not humorous at all, buddy. I mean, how would you respond if someone said, you got to be born again? And that really wasn't a phrase that you had heard too much. You got to be born again. How? I'm kind of big for that, aren't I? And so Jesus clarifies. He answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Sounds a little bit easier to accept, I think. Maybe Nicodemus is like, oh! That's what he meant. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying you must be born again. That was a phrase that they did use sometimes. It was the phrase that they used when they were getting proselytes. Proselytes were Gentiles that wanted to come to God, but they weren't Jews. And since Judaism was kind of exclusive, you were called a proselyte. We had to come up with another name. And that's what they came up with. Proselyte sounded cool. It started with a P and they liked P's. No. This is just a person that's really trying hard to follow the rules of God. A person, they call them God-fearers. They call them the Gentiles who believed in God. And so he says, you shouldn't be surprised that I say that because, you know, that's what you said happens to other people, but you missed it. And then Jesus says something that's made people wonder for centuries. What is he talking about? Maybe you'll think that right as I read it. He says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. Sounds kind of mystical, doesn't it? The wind blows wherever it pleases. You know, it sounds like it should be some kung fu noise after that. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from, grasshopper, or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In all seriousness, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Let me repeat that one more time. Maybe if I keep repeating it, we'll understand it. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. A little bit of a Greek lesson, if you don't mind. The word for wind. Maybe we shouldn't start there. Does anybody have any idea what the Greek word for spirit is? I heard someone say it. Pneuma. You cheat, man. Pneuma. Can anyone guess what the word for wind is here? Yes. Pneuma. The same word is used to describe both wind and spirit. The same word is used to describe both wind and spirit. That's really messed up scholars for years. Why translate it wind when it says spirit? There are scholars out there that say, no, that should say spirit. The spirit blows wherever it pleases. There are other ones that say, no, it should say wind. Wind fits kind of with what Jesus is trying to say. I'm going to kind of stick with the wind. Do me a favor. What is wind? Throw out some words for me. When you think of wind, what do you think of?
Chaos.
Chaos?
Freezing?
Power. I like that. Tornadoes? Typhoons? The wind is the thing that makes the waves. The wind is creative. It creates things. Without the wind, we wouldn't have the oxygen. It's life-sustaining. But it can blow down houses. It's destructive. Sometimes it blows in such a weird way that we're not entirely sure what's going on. It's blowing one way, and then it blows the next. It's chaotic. Can you see the wind? It's mysterious. So what about the Spirit? Well, the Spirit, sometimes called the Spirit, is life-giving. Can you see the Spirit? It's mysterious. Sometimes the Spirit can blow down buildings. It's destructive. Sometimes the Spirit can cause something new. It's creative. The same things that we use to describe wind are the same things that we use to describe the movement of the Spirit of God. The same exact things that we use to describe the wind are the things that we use to describe the Spirit of God. Go with me to Genesis 1:2. And in Genesis 1:2, it talks about the earth formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now that word for spirit is the Hebrew word ruach. Can you say that with me? Ruach. Add that in there. It makes it so much funner to say. You're going to be saying it the rest of the day. But that's the same word that spirit is. Now, when that is translated into Greek, what word do you think they use? Pneuma. The Spirit of God. The wind of God was hovering over the waters. The very power of God was hovering over the waters. And so when we think of wind, especially today, the elemental aspect, when we think of wind, we think of the Spirit of God. We think of a destructive, life-sustaining, powerful force that moves us into action. Spirit of God. Let's go on with that story. Nicodemus says in verse 9, how can this be? Nicodemus asks. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. And do you not understand these things? Isn't that kind of harsh? I mean, here we are sitting here, we've repeated it, we've talked about the Greek, and it's still kind of fuzzy. He says, you're Israel's teacher, don't you get it? Ouch. We speak of what we know. And we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. So he says, in clarification, Nicodemus, to what you have said, that's us. You can see, you can't see the wind, but you can hear its breath. You can't see the Spirit, but you can hear what it's saying. It's the same thing with us. We're all over the place. I mean, when we leave here, you know, we're all over the place. You may not know that we follow Christ, but you hear his words coming from us. We're like the wind. Doesn't that sound cool? We're like the wind. This is starting to sound more and more like a kung fu film, isn't it? We're like the wind. Powerful. The Bible tells us that we will tear down and we will build up. We are destructive and we are creative. We move people. We move things. And with what? The very words that we speak. So just like the wind, we move, we do, we act. When the wind is still, everything is not okay. Something bad is going to happen. And so he says, the wind goes where it wants to, just like the Spirit of God. Is that not the same with us? Because we have the Spirit of God in us, thanks to Jesus. Rachel talked a little bit about that. Because we have the Spirit of God in us, we move. The Spirit moves us to speak to who we will. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We're like the wind. Still sounds cool. A tornado. A typhoon. Some of us are more like tornadoes. Think about it. This power that God gives you right now gives you the very essence of one who will tear down and build up, one who is creative, life-giving, will sustain people, will move people. That's what the Spirit of God does in our lives and to the people that we encounter. Spirit of God does in our lives and the people we encounter. Think about how much change has come on the wings of people who are willing to allow the wind of God, the Spirit, to move them. Martin Luther King changed the whole racial outlook of a nation. Daniel in the Old Testament changed the whole religious climate of the city, the known world, and the belief system of the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did the same thing. Jesus created a movement. Paul, even though he was a sinner, had the transformation of the Spirit of God, created Christendom in places that they would have never thought people would worship God. Don't think for a moment that we aren't like that. We are the wind. We are life-giving. We are life-sustaining. We are powerful. We are destructive. Not the bad thing. We are powerful. We are destructive. We move things. Things change as a result of our touchdown. Tornado, I don't know if you got that. Like a hurricane, the landscape is never the same. Think about that. Where are you going at the end of this week? What will you do at the end of this week? Be the wind. Change things. Allow people to feel the force of your presence. Let the Spirit of God move you. Let the Spirit of God teach you. Be powerful. Be passionate. Be a force to be reckoned with. Wherever you are, do not leave the place the same as when you were there. Because you are the wind. You have that power. God has given it to you. And if there's something in your life that needs changing, remember, you are the wind. You have that power. You are capable of changing. We just don't recognize it. So when Jesus told Nicodemus, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. He was acknowledging that as a result of this new birth, you have the power to do things that you may not have done before through the Spirit of God. You have the power to change things. You have the power to tear down, build up. You have the power to never leave things the way you were, the way they were before you came in. So I would encourage you to be the witness.